Right, while the offering is going by, I'm gonna jump into it right here. I think the altar call already happened. I'm just gonna sort of repeat what they just said in the words just now. You'll see that the scriptures overlap again. I want to start off by just giving God thanks and giving Him glory, because 6 months ago we came into the Jamison for the first time on a sort of a one every month basis. And at that time, it really would have been impossible for us as only our congregation to be here. So we started off with regional services where several churches came together. But I want to just give glory to God because we're here tonight. And we didn't have the resources, and God has made it possible in every single way. So let's just give God glory for that. I want to congratulate the new members. It's always amazing. Yes, let's give them another hand. It's incredible when we realize that we're in church and we're not just there because it's part of the program. We're there because God called us. And firstly, He calls us not to do, but to be part of a family. And then comes the do, but He's not focused on the doing, He's focused on the being. Right, and so like Rene said earlier, you guys are a gift, and we're excited to walk the journey with you. So welcome to the family. And so tonight, like I said, I'm just going to quick do a recap of the words. But I'm preaching along with my sister-in-law. Where is she now? She's somewhere. There's the hand. She's responsible for this drawing, right? Artist. So we're going to be partnering tonight as I'm going to be sharing. Who can tell me what is the vision for the church for the year? Being one, and then for us locally, waking up the mighty men. Okay, so tonight is a continuation of that. It's called Awakening the Dawn. That's also the name of this painting. So I'm going to just read you the description of the painting, and then you'll see how it makes sense. The blow of the shofar declares the dawn of a new season. The scripture tells us that God gives us the authority to awake the dawn, i.e. to declare a new season. For a long while, the church has been walking through the night. Many have lost sight of the vision and their sense of purpose, and therefore have become weary of sharpening their swords. But the blowing of the shofar is an awakening and a call to spiritual battle. As light dawns in response to our prophetic declaration, We see Mount Zion, God's kingdom, in the near distance, a reminder of where we are headed, our vision. Between the men and Mount Zion is a big harvest field waiting for the reaping and the gathering. The scriptural references for the painting is Psalm 57, verse 7 and 8, and Joel chapter 3. Psalm 57, verse 7 and 8 says, David cries out, and this is before the awakening of his dawn. I can explain just now. But he says, God, my heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. So quickly turn to the person next to you and say, I will awaken the dawn. So three things there. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. In my case, those are not like my favorite instruments. I'll say awake drums and bass and awaken the dawn. Okay, so three things. I want you to see this. Firstly, he almost speaks to himself, David. He says, awaken my glory. Now, the scripture teaches that there's two sides of man, two conflicting sides of man. Paul calls it the inner man and the old man. Right, and so there's the carnal side of us on the inside, but there's the spiritual side of us. There's the inner man. So he almost speaks to his inner man, the glorious side. He says, awaken my glory. So all of us, we've been made as a gift. All of us, God has placed some sort of gold inside of you, and it's up to you to allow that which God has placed in you to come and shine into the world, right? And so David says, I'm not going to wait for something to happen. I'm not going to wait for just something to move, but I'm going to awaken the glory that is in me. Are you ready to do that? All right, we're going to get practical tonight. Awaken my glory. Secondly, lute and harp, awaken my song. And awaken the song that I've got to sing this. All of us have a song to sing. It's part of the message that God has given us. Don't worry if you're not musical. It's fine. You still have a song. And if you look at biblically, scripturally, many times when God is about to act, before he's about to act, we see that a song was sung. We see this with the song of Moses before they go into the promised land. God gives him a song. He writes the song. He sings the song. Then a new dawn rises over the nation of Israel. We see this before they go to Mount Zion. Miriam picks up the tambourine, and she sings a song. Right? Every time a significant moment, we see several other cases in Scripture of songs being sung. We remember the scene where the army went in front, but before the army was the musicians, and they sang, and so there was a great victory. So we see this pattern. Many times a song precedes God's moving. So awaken the song. That's the second part. And the third song part is awakening the dawn. I'm going to ask us just to quickly listen. A couple of years ago, in fact, 2 years ago, 2015, Pastor Heinrich Titus came to our congregation, and I don't know if some of you put up your hand if you remember, but he had this prophecy that was not like just a prophecy. It was like a prophecy, right? I think it went on for 35 minutes, prophecy. And so I just took out a bit of a snippet from that, and I want us just to quickly listen to that prophecy because it's about our church and our corporate awakening of the dawn. It's God's inheritance for us. Listen to that. That's very exciting for us in the corporate level, and God is really moving. I want to just speak to us as individuals tonight. There's three things, and already in the prophetic words, three groups were identified, but I want to just reemphasize that there's three places where we are at tonight. All of us are at one of these places, and I want to just give opportunity for God to speak into our hearts and to speak into our lives. The first one is looking at the life of Jesus. It's always good to look at Jesus first. Amen? All right. Looking at Jesus, Jesus went into the wilderness, went into the desert. And this was before Jesus was released into his ministry. Before anything happened in his life, God, the Holy Spirit, took him into the desert, right? And I've sort of obviously thought about this account many times, but it's sort of like something new has been highlighted to me about this situation. If you think of Jesus, you think of his life up till then, he's 30 years old at this stage. So for 30 years, from a very young age, he knew that he was the Messiah. He knew he was God's son, and he knew he had an amazing calling. But for 30 years, nothing happened. Can you imagine how frustrating that must be? Nothing happens. And so he goes into the desert, and for 40 days he fasts, and then the Holy Spirit takes him into the desert. And so what I didn't see previously about this scenario is, you know, especially when you're fasting, at the end of your fast, you are very easily prone to discouragement, right? And so we see here that at this point, you could almost identify with Jesus in the fact that he could have been very needy, and he could have been very discouraged. And so it's in this moment, you know, the enemy is always strategic in the times that he tempts us. And so this is a very strategic time, but it's a big test for Jesus. Even Jesus, the Son of Man, was tested. Right? God, many times, he tests us. He brings tests around our paths to determine if we're ready for where he wants to take us. Because where he wants to take us, we need to be able to handle it in terms of our character. And so he takes us through tests so that our character is formed in us. And so here we see Jesus is tempted on three different levels. Firstly, he's the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy is always instant solution to a legitimate need that you and I have, right? And so he comes to Jesus. The first lie he says to Jesus, if you bow down to me, I will give you bread. Speak to the stone and it will become bread, right? And so the promise there is instant satisfaction, but not through God's way, through the enemy's way. The second temptation is Jesus is taken to the ledge, to the mountain. The mountain that we know is the Mount of Olives is the mountain where the temple is right below the mountain. So if Jesus would have jumped and the angels would have caught him, all the people at the temple would have seen that this is the Messiah. So what is the promise there? The promise is instant fame, right? The enemy promised Jesus, if you do it my way, I'm going to give it to you instantly. The last promise is Satan takes Jesus, shows him the kingdoms of the earth, and then he says, if you bow down to me, I will give you these kingdoms instantly. And the promise there, the lie again, is instant success, right? The ironic thing is that this was, all these things, and especially the kingdoms, was Jesus' destiny. So Jesus would end up getting all of these things, but now Satan promises him a quick way, an easy way, whereas God's way is another way. God's way, is obviously for Jesus, was through the cross, but God's way was blessed and much more blessed. And so we see that the enemy tried to tempt him, and in his time of most discouragement, the enemy comes and he tempts him. Some of us here, I believe, God is wanting to speak into your situation. Some of you are discouraged about your calling. Some of you are discouraged about what God has called you for and what you are doing, and God wants to speak into that situation. The next person we want to look at is Joseph. Joseph had a similar story. In fact, at the age of 17, his brothers came. They threw him into the pit and then sold him to slaves. Then for 11 years, he was obviously taken to Egypt. For 11 years, he served in Potiphar's house. And 2 years after that, he was taken to prison. We know the story. Potiphar's wife accused him of sexual harassment, and he was put into prison. And again, we see that this young boy of 17, for 13 years, at the point of again, great discouragement, God had given him this dream of the stars bowing down to him, and this incredible destiny that Joseph was going to walk in. But here we see it's not happening. Here we see he gets really tested for 13 years before he can walk into what God has called him. But now we see the scene, and I've got the scriptures on the screen, but the scriptures were read in the prophecies, so I'm not going to read the scriptures, but Joseph here, he's sitting in the prison, two men come to him, he prophesies about their lives, exactly what he says happens. The king finds out after he's had a dream, and so here's Joseph's moment to awaken his dawn, to awaken his destiny. And here you can almost imagine Joseph in the prison for such a long time and nothing happening. You could almost imagine that it would be easier just to stay here in the prison, because actually things are happening in the prison. The baker comes to him and people come to talk to him, and God actually uses him. And sometimes our prison is comfortable. We get so used to our prison because it's where we've been for such a long time. And so now here comes this massive test, because the Pharaoh has had a dream, and there needs to be interpretation. But it's not just a nice Pentecostal situation where you pull out the gift of interpretation. No, his life is on the line. So he could have very easily said, "Well, no, I this thing is too hectic for me. You know, I'm just going to stay here comfortably in the prison." Or he could say, "I'm going to go for it. I'm going to awaken my dawn. I'm going to awaken my destiny. That promise that God gave to me, this is my moment with Pharaoh. And I'm going to risk everything," because his life was on the line. We know the story. Pharaoh then sets him over his whole kingdom. Now imagine that. From being in prison to being the right hand of Pharaoh, having all authority over that nation. The third guy is Daniel. And interestingly, both Joseph and Daniel, their destiny, their calling was not so much to the house of Israel, but it was to the nations. In our context, their calling wasn't necessarily in the church, but in the secular world. right? With Joseph and Daniel. In fact, they prepared the way for God's house in the world. And so some of us have that calling. Most of us, in fact, have that calling and destiny in the world to reflect God's glory in this world. And so we see with Daniel, he also has this big test where he has to say, listen, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to awaken my song, and I'm going to allow God to work something in through me. And up till this point, we see in Daniel chapter 6, and up till this point, things have been relatively easy for Daniel because God's favor had followed him all his life. And then we see that there's this conspiracy. The ruler, King Darius, is about to make Daniel the king, or the right-hand man of the king. Again, similar situation to Joseph, pretty much the second in charge. He's about to do it, and then there's this conspiracy against him. People are jealous over Daniel, and they set him up. We know the story. They make the king make this promise that if everyone bows down, doesn't bow down to King Darius, they'd be thrown into the lion's den. We know the story. We tell it. We hear it as kids. We tell it to our kids. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, and we see here the response. And you can look up on the screen. This response to me is amazing, and I've been saying the last couple of weeks, there's just one thing that it's about, and that is God's favor. Sorry, no, it's not on the screen. It's in my Bible. He says the following. The king comes to the lion's den, and he shouts in the den because he really wanted Daniel to be alive. Daniel responds. He says to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in his God. He says, I found favor with my God. And so here we see, and many times we think of being in the world that we need to be better than the world. We need to be better both character-wise. We need to be better both in skill to have an effect on the world. And all those things are true. But here we see in the life of Daniel, he had all those things. In fact, he was known as a man that was excellent, more excellent than all the other people. He was actually known as a magician because he could, you know, walk in the supernatural, but obviously with his God. But he could do all these things, but this Daniel had one thing right, and he had the favor of God. That is the one thing that is the most important thing. I said it last week, and it's the one message that you need to have, that you need to know. It's all about the favor of God. Doesn't matter what people think of you, no matter what your situation is, whether you are persecuted, whether people don't like you, whether your boss doesn't want to promote you, God's favor is all it's about. And many times we're in situations and it doesn't seem like it's working out, but God, if his favor is with you, you'll make it work. He does the most extreme things. In fact, God takes pleasure in doing the most extreme things. From a man that was in prison to being the right hand. From Jesus, where nothing happened according to his destiny, and suddenly he walks, and like Nolitando read, Luke says that he reads the scroll. He reads the scroll from the book of Isaiah. On that particular moment, the scroll was handed to him. He reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jesus. And we see right then and there, he walks in the power and the authority of God. He moves. The very first thing he does is he casts out a demon. The next thing he does, he heals a woman. But he stepped into what God had called him to do because he had the favor of God. Even Jesus, the scripture tells us that he grew in favor with man and in favor with God. So we all grow in favor with God. Let us stand tonight as we're going to pray. I told you I'm going to be quick. Father, we thank you that our lives belong to you. Father, we thank you for what you've done in us. That Holy Spirit, you have done great things this year. God, we thank you for every person that is standing here. And they're here because you've appointed them to be here. Father, you've appointed them to stand. Thank you, Father, for how many of us have grown in this season. Mighty men and women have awakened to their destiny. They've awoken to what you have called them, Father. But tonight we thank you that we can turn now to the world and we can say, awaken, and I will awaken the dawn. Thank you for this season, Father. Thank you for the season shift. And thank you, Father, that nothing can hinder us from walking in your purpose. So many times, God, the time is not right. So many times, and so many times in the past, we've been frustrated. We've been discouraged. Because we were like Jesus in the desert. It was a desert season. But Father, we thank you that your timing is perfect. And we thank you, Father, that you've called all of us to walk in all that you've purposed and planned. And thank you for that which you are doing in us and through us. And so like God was saying in the prophetic words and the worship, there's three groups here tonight that we want to just pray over and minister to. And the first group is, you're not even aware of the fact that you have a destiny. God is not awoken it in you. And maybe you know it in your mind. Maybe some friends and Christians have told you that yes, you've got a destiny. Yes, there's a purpose to your life. But it's not clicked on the inside of you, that inner man. And tonight you need to start by saying, awaken my glory. So that's the first group. If you can come to my left. The second group, if you can come to my right, that is those that are walking maybe in your destiny, and you know what God is saying, but it's not happening yet. It's not happening, and you're at the moment of your greatest discouragement. Everything feels to you like it's going wrong, and you thought that you would have been promoted to there now, but it hasn't happened. But God wants to say, but I want to just declare over you that it is your time. I want to just begin to awaken you, but I want to speak life into your situation. So if you can come to my right. The third group, and if you can come forward, and you guys can come forward as I'm speaking. The third group is if you've just realized, but my prison has become my comfort. I've become so used to doing things, but God has actually said other things, but it's like it's not happening, and I've just accepted that this is my fate. Then God wants to break those lies over you, and He wants to reawaken who He's made you to be. And He wants to awaken the song in you. Some of you are going to have to sing that song again. So just quickly respond to these respective groups. And we're going to pray together. We just have some facilitators to come forward. We're going to have just some family time, some special time in God's presence. Don't be shy. In fact, I want us just to just wait before God. While people are coming forward, if we can just allow God to speak to us and minister to us. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, Father, for every heart that is connecting to you right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this place. Thank you, Father, for hearts that are not connected to you. If you feel far away from God, if you feel disconnected from God, if you don't hear His voice, then I want to ask you to step forward as well. Come right to the front. We're going to pray together with you. If you are in need of healing tonight, then the word came earlier this week that God is going to lift His hand in healing. So please step forward as well. I'm calling everyone up because we're limited in time, but we're going to to give God the space to speak to us, to deal with us. Hallelujah. Let's just stretch out our hands to these people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you, Father, for this moment that is a significant moment. Not because I say so, but Lord, because of your calling. Because you've called him. You've set him apart. You've set him apart for this moment, God. You've called him to walk in his destiny. Father, and we thank you that nothing can separate him from your love, Father. And everything that is dark, everything that is heavy, we lift off him now. In the name of Jesus, we say there's no hold of him. Every spirit that presses down on him, we cause it to come off his shoulders, off his life. And in the name of Jesus, instead, God, we thank you that he's filled with your Spirit, Lord. That he's filled with you, God. Fill him, Lord. Fill him to overflowing right now.